In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundant." Let me ask this question this morning for each of us. Are you experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, that He paid the price of His life on the cross for? Are you experiencing the best of the best right now? Are you as close as you possibly can be to God? Wholly devoted unto Him? Are you experiencing His presence and power and prayers answered? And do you know for certain that you are right in the middle of God's will for your life? If you are this morning, I can share with you the reason why that is. And if you're not this morning, if there is some obstacle that's keeping you from experiencing what you believe is on the other side, what you've been promised is on the other side, I'm also going to share how you can overcome that obstacle. We're going to look in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, starting in verse 6, and read to 13. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance." Let's pray this morning. God, as we look into your holy living word, if our hearts are open, you will use it to change us. You will use it to draw us closer to you. You will use it to open up our understanding of who you are and who we are and for your purposes and plans in our life. So I pray that would take place here today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the picture here? The Israelites are now in the promised land. After spending 40 years in the wilderness, after they had been delivered from Egypt, and Caleb is asking for a particular mountain, Mount Hebron. Now, to understand what's happening here, we have to go back 40 years and look at the circumstances surrounding the things that Caleb mentions. So we first meet Caleb in the Bible. The people of Israel were encamped at Kadesh Barnea, an oasis in the Negev desert south of the promised land, still in the desert. It's only been about a year or two since they came out of Egypt. And they have witnessed the power of God. They witnessed God open up the Red Sea. They witnessed Him supply water from a rock. They witnessed Him supply food, manna from heaven. They fought the Amalekite raiders and won. Moses has received the Ten Commandments, built the tabernacle, and constructed the Ark of the Covenant. The Israelites have ratified the covenant, and the essentials of their nationhood under God as their king has been established. Everything is ready now to move into the promised land. At that time, Caleb is about 40 years old. He's a recognized leader of his tribe, the tribe of Judah. That's the largest of the 12 tribes. And the Lord has given Moses a directive. Let's look in Numbers 13, 1 and 2. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Send out for yourself men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each of the father's tribes, send one man who is a leader among them.'" So prior to going into the promised land, Moses instructs them to call their leader from each of their tribes to go in and check it out. God had already told them what was in there. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land that they had never experienced so far in their lives. He had promised it to them. And so he calls leaders from each tribe. Leadership is so critical. Everything rises and falls on leadership. That is why we put so much emphasis on leadership. Leadership in our homes, leadership in the ministries, leadership in our towns, leadership in our country. If it's good leadership, the people are blessed and flourish. If it's bad leadership, it goes south in a hurry. So these were the leaders of each of the tribes who were sent in to spy out the land. And so let's see what happens. Numbers 13, 25 through 32. After 40 days, the men returned from spying out the land. And they went back to Moses, Aaron, and the whole congregation of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back a report for the whole congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. There's another text in Genesis where it talks about they brought back a cluster of grapes. I bought one yesterday at Kroger. It was about that big. They brought back a cluster of grapes so big, two men had to carry it on a pole. That's how lush the land was that God was given to them. And they gave this account to Moses. We went into the land to which you sent us, and indeed it is flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of its fruit. They traveled the land of Israel from top to bottom and looked over every part of it. And they should have stopped right here, but they didn't. It goes on, nevertheless, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan. So who are the Anakim? These are a race of giants who descended from Anak. In fact, Goliath was a descendant of the Anakim. So they went in and saw what God had promised, but something else they saw overtook them. They saw giants, and they were scared. Verse 30 says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we must go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly conquer it. Caleb and Joshua both responded this way. The other 10 leaders of the tribes responded in fear. What made the difference? What made the difference? Why does one person see an obstacle, a difficulty, something that comes into their life differently from another and respond differently? That's what we're going to find out here in this scripture. But the men who had gone up with him replied, we cannot go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So they gave the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had spied out. The land we explored devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw there are great in stature. Now that was an exaggeration. Not all of them were great in stature. The Anakim were. And not all the people were being devoured. They exaggerated this report. So since the land was going to be divided up into 12 pieces, Moses wisely instructed a leader from each tribe to go into the land. There's one city they were particularly impressed with, the city of Hebron. It was a walled city in the south, perched nearly at the crest of a mountain chain about 3,000 foot high. And what sobered the spies about this particular mountain, this city, was that's where the Anakim were. That's where the giants were. So they said, we cannot go into the land that God has promised because of the giants. Bad reports, negativity, backbiting, whispering is contagious. Absolutely contagious. And it spread throughout the camp in a hurry. By nightfall, their negative assessment of the danger had spread throughout the camp, and everyone was in fear. Numbers 14:1 says, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. here they are, 2 years in the wilderness, and they had seen the power and might and miracles of God. They'd received the Ten Commandments. God had prepared everything for them to go in, but they wouldn't go in because of the giants, because of something they felt they could never overcome. Look at Numbers 14, 6 through 9. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the whole congregation of Israel, "The land we passed through and explored is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, for they will be like bread to us. Their protection has been removed, and the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." You notice something in the reports. You notice something different in the 10 in their report. Their report was, it's about us. We can't do it. We don't have the strength. We'll be overcome. We will be defeated. Moses and Caleb's report was, God, God, God. He called us. He's prepared it. He's going before this. They're already defeated. Let's go take it. However, the negative report has spread throughout the camp, and there's crying and there's fear. So look at the response. But the whole congregation threatened to stone Joshua and Caleb. They didn't like their message. They didn't like their report. This is the famous act of rebellion in the Bible, and it's memorialized in Psalm 95. I want us to take a look at it, verses 7 through 11. "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, 'They are people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways.' So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter into my rest." And they didn't. From the age of 18 and over, everyone who rebelled, who would not go in, died in that wilderness. Over 40 years, over 1 million people died in that desert and never experienced what God had promised and prepared for them. Isn't that sad? Wouldn't it be sad if we did it in this life? What was the difference in these reports? What was the difference in these hearts? Here's what it was. Joshua and Caleb were wholly devoted to God. There was no room for fear in their lives. Now you think about this for a moment. They were wholly devoted. They were 100% all in for God. When we're not wholly devoted, now we may be, say, 70%. We do come to church some. We do tithe some. We do read our Bible. We do pray sometimes. But we like our other things too. We have our pet pleasures and enjoyments in life. And so we haven't given those up. If we're 70% devoted, our faith is only going to go to 70%. Our faith is only going to be as strong as our devotion to God. That may not matter most of the time, but it's going to matter when the giant's in front of you. It's going to matter when the obstacle comes into your life. Because you're not going to have the confidence to overcome it. You're not going to have the confidence of God because you know you haven't been wholly devoted to Him. And so if there's a space in between our faith where it should be and where it is, that's the space where Satan is able to invade with fear and anxiety and worry and cause us to turn around. We may know in our head God has said it and God's going to do it, but the focus comes on us because we're really not living totally devoted, and so we're so much in the flesh that we run. That's what they did. They turned back. We see the whole difference now in the people here. So everyone died in the wilderness, all the adults, except for Joshua and Caleb. They were allowed to go into the promised land. And that's where we started out in the scripture, with them already being on the inside. So 40 years later, they've crossed over. Battles have taken place. The enemy of the land has been run off. Everything just like God had said. Caleb and Joshua, They have faith and the obedience to follow God's directions. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Numbers 14:24 that we looked at, let's go back to. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. This is what God says. I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. That word wholeheartedly in the Hebrew means to be full, to fill. He was all in. He was all in way before they were called to go in and spy. He was all in. At a point in his life, he had made the decision, and that was it. Nothing was going to come in between him and God. He was totally devoted. Now, think about what Jesus tells us. He said, if you want to follow me, just give up a little bit and come on. Is that what he says? No. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Give up your right to your life. Take up your cross and follow me. That kind of sounds harsh on one side. But why is Jesus doing that? He's doing that to protect us. When he called his disciples, they gave up everything and followed him. If they had not been wholly devoted unto him, if there had been a space in their life where their faith was only as strong as their devotion, and it was down here, Satan would have a time in that space. But there wasn't. Those disciples were wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus, and they followed him to their deaths. You see the difference? That's what it takes. That's why some of our lives are so filled with a whirlwind of fear and anxiety, and we have a place in our life where Satan is just knocking us around like our old tomcat would do with a mouse. Wholly devoted. That was Caleb, and that was Joshua, and that is why they went into the promised land. Now, when they went in, Caleb is asking for a particular mountain, Mount Hebron. Why was Caleb asking for that mountain? That's where the Anakim were still holding out. Caleb wanted to finish what he started 40 years ago. He was not an ordinary old man. He wanted to go in and fight. And he knew God was with him. Are you satisfied? Are you experiencing the abundant life to the fullest? Or is there a giant in between you and where you would like to be that you don't think you can get around? You look at that giant, and you look at yourself, and you think, no way. When we are wholly devoted to God, surrendered to Him, when we look at a giant, the next look we look at is God. And we see God is bigger than whatever it is. And we believe that we can go through this, we can go over this, we can overcome this. It may be something out there, it may be something in here. Because God is able. If He's going before us, nobody can defeat us. That was always the case with the Israelites. Whenever they were looking to God, trusting Him, and He was before them, when they went into battle, victory every time. In the United States, early in our days, when we were looking to God, following God, and going into battle, victory every time. We've turned away from God now, and look what's happened. We are getting weaker and weaker and weaker. What does it take to get to the promised land? Total, absolute surrender and devotion to God. Nothing short. 99% won't even do it. You say, well, how do I do that? Sometimes we try to get there on our own. Well, if I just start studying more, if I just start praying more, if I just start giving more, if I start doing this or that, and we're still saying the wrong word, we can't do it. All we can really do is surrender and give up and lay before God the things that are in our life that are keeping us from being wholly devoted and leaving room in our life for Satan to come in with fear and to keep us from the best that God has for us. I want to ask this morning, if that's where you are, if you know you're not experiencing exactly what God has for you, would you take the first step of faith and say, God, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. I'll go with you and we'll fight. We oftentimes want to get around mountains or be taken over them. God often wants us to fight the battles with Him and find out that when we're with Him, there's always victory. Many of us have experienced those victories. We bear the wounds and scars from the battles, but there's been victories. We're going to have a time this morning to pray. Christy's going to come up. We've got some time this morning to listen to the Lord speaking to us, to respond to Him. This is a new year we're heading into. We don't want it to end up just like the last one did, being in that same place. Until we're wholly devoted, here's what's happening. We're going in circles in the desert, almost to the promised land. And we can spend our lives as a believer, as a saved Christian, going there, right here. So if you know what you need to do, and God's speaking to you about it, just lay before Him, give it to Him. Say, I'm ready to go somewhere new. I'm ready to experience the very best of what you have for me. Let's stand together. And if God's speaking to you, would you come up to this altar and pray? Would you have somebody pray with you? Would you finally say, I've had enough of being just 70% or even 80%? I want to be all the way. I want to be a Caleb, a Joshua. When difficulties come, I want to already be prepared. I want to already be looking to God. I want to already be trusting Him. Because I can guarantee you, the obstacles are coming. The difficulties are coming in our life. The battles are always before us. But the battle belongs to the Lord. Father, have your way. You speak to us. Your word is truth. And may each one of us in this room this morning experience the very best of what you have for us in this life. We know what you prepared in the life to come. We know it's perfect. We know it is constant fullness of joy. But Jesus, you said you've come that we may have abundant life right now. And it requires total devotion. Have your way. In your name I pray. Amen.
Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, my silver and my gold. not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer.